Tonight's shiur is on Megillas Esther. The title of this shiur tonight is Remembering Karvonah for the Good. So tonight's shiur is obviously titled this way based on the end of Shoshanas Yaakov. After Kriyas Megillah, at the very end we say V'gam Karvonah Zachor LeTov. So we mention the role of Karvonah in the Megillah. So I thought, you know, give a shiur based on the Pesukim of Megillah on what the nature of Karvonah, on what his nature was, what the value of bringing this in is, so we can understand his role in the Megillah. So if we look in source number one, he's mentioned twice in the Megillah. The first time is in the first parak. It's parak Aleph Pasuk Yud. It says as follows: "Bayom Hashvi'i, Ketov Lev Hamelach Bayayin Amar Limhuman Bizusach Arvuna Bigsav Avaksazay Sar V'Charkas Shivasas Arisim Hamisharisim Espnei Hamelach Chashverosh." So the first time Charvuna is mentioned is in Pasuk Yud, right in the middle over there. It says Bizusach Charvuna. So he's one of the officers of Achashverosh, the seven officers. So one of them is Haman, Mehuman is Haman, and another one is Charvonah. And then in Yudav it says, Lavias Vashti Amalka Lifnei HaMelech, Bekesar Amalchus, La'arusa Amim, Masarim, Esyofya, Kitavas Marehi. So the purpose was that Achashverosh wanted to bring out Vashti and show her off, and show how beautiful she was. But one of the officers that's mentioned at the beginning of the Megillah is Charvonah. And the second time he's mentioned, he's only mentioned twice in the Megillah. The first time is in Perek Aleph as one of the Sarisim. And the second time he's mentioned is Perek Zion. Look in source number two. It says, Vayomer Charvonah echad min ha-sarisim lefnei ha-melech, gam hinei ha-eitz asher asa amban le-mordechai, asher diber tov al-melech, omeid beveis haman gavoh ha-chamishim amah, vayomer ha-melech tzulu alav. So Charvonah, second time in the Megillah, after Achashverosh comes back from the party that Esther threw, and Esther revealed that she was Jewish and that Haman was trying to destroy us. So afterwards, Haman is on top of Esther. He says, Agam lechbosh samalka. So he mentions that. And then Charvonah points out this fact that Haman had built this tree to hang Mordechai on. And what ends up happening is Achashverosh says, let's hang Haman on this tree. And they end up hanging Haman on the tree that he built to hang Mordechai, and the king's anger had abated. Okay, so there's two mentionings of Charvonah. One mention of Charvonah is in the beginning, and the second one, which is the more essential one, is at the end of Esther and Perek Zion, where he's the one who gives the advice to Achashverosh to hang Haman on the very tree that he built for Mordechai. So the question is, what's so special about Charvonah that we say at the end of the Shoshanas Yaakov, the Gam Charvonah Zachor LeTov? What exactly was his role here? Why does the Megillah even have to mention this him by name? It should just mention that one of the Sarisim said to Achashverosh that you should hang him. So why mention Charvonah? What's the value? Because the Megillah is only going to write in a name to teach us an idea or a lesson. So what exactly is the lesson that we can learn from Charvonah's advice to Achashverosh? So that's the main question. Another small point for anybody who noticed this, and we'll get to this at the end, if you look at the difference in the name of Charvonah in source number one and source number two, there's a slight difference. Does anybody notice it? In source number one,
Aleph and the Hay.
Yeah, exactly, the Aleph and the Hay. So in source number one, it says Charvonah with an Aleph, and in source number two, it says it with a Hay. So they really were the same person. They're not different people, the Mefarshim say, but the difference in the language is to teach us an idea in the second point. So we'll get to that. We'll get to an understanding of what that idea is, what the purpose of that difference is. Okay? So those are the main questions. The main question is, what is the role of Charvonah at the end over here in Perek Zion that he gives us advice? And also, what's this difference in the name? In the beginning, it's with an Aleph. At the end, it's with a Hey. So those are the two questions. So I think the first source, instead of going to the Mefarshim on the Megillah, is the Gemara, the Torah Shebaal Peh, on this area. So we'll look at the Gemara, and we'll derive different points or different ideas from the various sources. So the first is Gemara Megillah. And the Gemara says as follows, Vayomer Charvonah, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Af Charvonah Rasha Be'osa Eitzahaya. So Charvonah was also a Rasha, an evil person, and involved in this type of advice. Kevan Shirash Lo Niskaima Atzaso. Once Charvonah saw that his advice didn't come to fruition, Miyad Barach, he escapes. V'hainu Dichsev V'yashlich Allah V'lo Yachmo Miyado Baruch Yivrach. And there's a pasuk in Eov to support this idea. So before we get to the pasuk, so what's the pshat? Look at the Marsha. The Marsha actually gives a better explanation of the pshat before we get to Rashi. So he says, "Af charvona rasha haya ba'osa etza." What does it mean that he was a rasha in this advice? Charvona haya echad mishiva sarise hamelech hamasharsim lo kedich sivl el. So he was one of the seven officers that served Achashverosh. V'havale lemechtav nami hacha echad misarise hamelech. Right, it should have just said, that was one of our questions, it should have just said, one of the Sarisim said to Achashverosh to hang Haman on the very tree that was built for Mordechai. Elo the Medrash. So it's to teach us a drush. Echad min Asarisim shayu ba'osa etza. So Echad min Asarisim, he was in the very etza. Gam malo lahaskir shayu gavua chamishim ama. Why does he also mention, why does the Pasuk mention that it was 50 amos high, debriya ba'alma vade lohaya yodea govho, he wouldn't know what the height of it just from seeing it. He couldn't estimate exactly what the height was. Elishaya ba'osa etza kishamru ovav yasul etz gavoa. So he was involved in giving advice to build the tree in the first place, to hang Mordechai. So that's what it means. It means that he was the one, he and the other chachamim and Muhammad's family, they were involved and giving Haman the advice to build the tree and eventually hang Mordechai on the tree. And then what's the end? So it says, V'amar miyad barach v'hanu dichsev v'yipolav miyado baruch yivrach uperish rashi sham ben atzaso shahaya misayo. So the very person who helped him, gave him advice to build this tree, b'tchilaso, in the beginning, yivrach me'ezer yado b'shas kishlono kimosha asa charvono l'haman. So he's going to escape in the time of the downfall of Haman, or the downfall of the Russia, he's going to get out of there. He's going to abandon his advice that he gave in the first place. So it's showing you, let's look at Rashi, we'll look at Rashi, but it's showing you that Charvona really was a Russia. In the beginning, he was the one who told Haman that you should build a tree to destroy, to hang Mordechai on. And then eventually, he's the one who gives the Eitzah. He turns on Haman completely, and he gives the Eitzah, and he takes himself away from this advice, and he gives the Eitzah to hang Haman on it. So if you look in Iov, the pasuk says as follows: Vayeshlech alav v'lo yachmol miyado baruch yivrach. It says Rashi over there in Iov says Vayeshlech alav hamashlech alav ra'ah v'lo yachmol. So he who throws upon him, puts upon him evil, and there's no kindness, meaning Hashem brings upon evil on the Rasha. Miyado shel Rasha umikocho mimakomo, from the hand of the Rasha, from his strength and from his place, baruch yivrach. Ben atzaso shayim misayu b'tchil yivrach ma'azir yado. Bishas Kishlono, same as the Marsha, he's quoting Rashi, Sha'asa Charvona Lahaman. So this is what Charvona did, that he gave him advice in the beginning, and then in the end he's escaping from that advice and he's turning on Haman. And Rashi, look in source number 7, Rashi on Megillah itself, he says, Vayashlech alav HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashlech paranios ala Rasha b'li chemla. So Hashem, he brings upon the Rasha terrible calamities without any kindness. So miyado baruch yivrach b'nei siyato v'chaverov borchem miyado. His friends and those who gave him advice, they all escape him. They all try to. They don't. There's no loyalty there. There's no loyalty to Haman. Okay. So the first idea, and we're gonna elaborate on this point, but the first idea is from the Gemara. The idea is that Charvona really wasn't a good guy, and the Zachor Letov will have to explain based on this. But Charvona wasn't a good guy. He was actually a bad guy. He was a Rasha. And it's trying to teach us an idea about Rishayim, that they may have supporters in the very beginning, but in the end, they don't really have any loyalty. There's no loyalty on the part of their supporters. Even the person who was closest to Haman, who gave him this tremendous advice, he's the one who turns on Haman in the end. He has no, there's no loyalty to Haman at all. So we have to understand, what is that idea? What's that concept of a lack of loyalty to the Russia? What is the concept that Eov's trying to highlight? Why is it that a Russia doesn't engender any loyalty in specific? So that's the question that we're going to elaborate on. So there's before we answer that, let's look back in the story itself. And we see a similar point, although I think Charvona is the epitome of the idea of the Psukim, but we see a similar point earlier, which the Marsha mentions. Look in source number 8. So it's Esther, Perek Hay, Pasuk Yud. We'll start with Pasuk Yud. Vayisapak, after Haman's invited to the party, he gets very excited. Vayisapak Haman vayavol beiso vayishlach vayave esu avav vazeresh ishto. He goes home after he's invited, and and he's very excited, and he wants to bring in his Oavav and his wife Zeresh. One of his Oavav was Charvona, based on the Gemara. Vayisaper lohem Haman es kvod oshro v'rov banav v'eis klasher gidlo amelech v'eis asher niso al sarim v'avde amelech. So he tells them all the great things that happened to him, and how he's been promoted, and how he's the highest, he's the vice president, he's the highest of the king's officers. Vayomer Haman, and he has a lot of wealth. Vayomer Haman af lo via Esther Malika im amelech al mishta asher asasa kim osi v'gamu machar ani karu lo im amelech. I'm the only one that was chosen to be at this party with Achashverosh and Esther. B'chol zeh einenu shovet li b'chol eis asher ani roeh es Mordechai Yehudi yoshev b'shar ha-melech. So he says that all this doesn't matter to me when I see Mordechai, who doesn't bow down to me, and he's just sitting there. V'atomer lo zeresh ishto. So we're near Dalet. It says, V'atomer lo zeresh ishto v'chol o'avav yasu eitz gavoa chamishim amot uvabuker emor lamelech v'yisul es Mordechai lov uvoim amelech alamishteh sameach v'yitov adavar lifnei Haman v'yasa eitz. So what ends up happening is that they all give in to Haman, and they tell Haman that you need to build a tree, and eventually you'll recommend that Mordechai gets hung on the tree, and he was all happy, and everything was good in Haman's eyes. So in the beginning, his whole family, it wasn't just Charvonah, not just his advisors, but his whole family was involved in giving him this advice to destroy Mordechai, and the advice was to build a tree. But then in the end, look in source number 9 in Perek Vav. After he has to take Mordechai around and say, Kacha yaseh le'ish asher ha-melech hafitz bi-garo, he's all upset. And it says, Vayikach Haman es ha-levush ves asus ve'albash es Mordechai v'arek yiveu b'rechu v'ir v'yikro lefanav Kacha yaseh le'ish asher ha-melech hafitz bi-garo. So Haman takes Mordechai around, and Mordechai is all dressed up, and Haman is in charge of yelling out, this is what Achashverosh does in order to honor the person who's kind to the king. Vayashav Mordechai el shar hamelech v'aman nidchaf el beso avel chafui rosh. And Haman was upset. Mordechai goes back, and Haman was really upset. So we're on the second page of Gimel. Vayisaper Haman lezeresh ishto l'chol av av iz klasher karo vayomru lo chachamo av lezeresh ishto im izer yudim Mordechai asher achilosu l'mpol fanav l'suchal lo kinafolti pol l'fanav. So in this last instance, all of a sudden, his whole family and his friends, they all turn on him, and they say, listen, you're not going to be successful if Mordechai is from the Jews. And then Mordechai was picked up to be brought to the party. So it's interesting, what we see is that in the beginning, we see kind of a smaller example of what the Gemara is saying, but you see in the beginning, Zeresh and the family and all the supporters of Haman are all gung-ho, and they're the ones giving him the advice in order to hang Mordechai. But in the end, you see that all the family and his wife, they're all realistic with him, and they say the opposite to him. They say, listen, you're going to fail if Mordechai is a Jew. And if you look at Rashi, look in source number 10, Asher Achilosa, Amra Umazu Nimshala Kochavim, Afar Kshem Yordim, Yordim Ad Afar, Vashem Olim, Olim Ad Rakiyav Ad Kochavim. So he said that that really the Jews, when they're downtrodden, they go down to the dirt. But when they go up, when there's a positive, when they're on a high note, they can go up all the way to the stars. Meaning to say that you're not going to be successful. So we see that the Rasha, like Haman, he doesn't really engender any true loyalty. He has his supporters in the beginning are very, they give in to him. They tell him that you should build a tree that's to destroy Mordechai. And then in the end, you see that Zeresh and all of the Oavav, which include Charvona, they tell him, no, you're not going to be successful because Mordechai is from the Jews, and there was some indication, there's hashkacha there, that Mordechai was taken around, that Haman was going to lose. And then finally we see the ultimate example of this lack of loyalty comes from Charvona at the very end, in Perek Zayin, which we saw before, where he points out that the very tree that he helped give advice on is the tree that Haman was hung on. So what's the idea? What's the concept, the point of the Medrash here, of this Gemara? Meaning, why is it that a Rasha doesn't engender any true loyalty? So this is not a trick question. I think that there's an obvious answer to this. I think the answer is that the Rasha, like Haman, is really known for his megalomania. That Haman's key characteristic was that he was an egomaniac. And the idea of Charvona is that it's expressing the concept that an egomaniac, especially to the level of Haman, can't really create any true relationships with people. He can't really, because everyone in his mind, he's all about himself. And everyone is just there as an extension of himself. He can't really create any, he can't show any genuine interest in another person. He can't really bond with anybody in particular, even his wife. His wife is just an extension of his greatness. His children are an extension of his greatness. If you look back in the Psukim, he says in source number 8, it says, Vayisaper lam Haman es kvod osho v'rov bana v'iz kol asher gidlo ha-melech v'iz asher niso al asarim avdei ha-melech. So you see that all of his children, his sons, were just, in his mind, were just an example of his greatness. They were all an expression of his greatness. So the point, I think, of the Gemara is that it's teaching us that a Rasha with the same characteristics as Haman. Now, we're not talking about a Baal Taiva. I think we're talking about an egomaniac, a megalomaniac. So Rasha, to that degree or to that level, can never really create a true loyalty, because he can't bond. He's incapable of creating an emotional relationship with another person. He can't really show interest in another person. He can't really listen to other people and really show any type of emotional connection with those people, and even his own wife and his children. I think I gave a shiur like this many years ago, similar on the idea that his daughter, I think there's a medrash that she killed herself. She jumped out of the window when she dropped the garbage, I think, on Haman's head, and it was meant for Mordechai and ended up hitting Haman. And I think I remember a similar idea that really he raised his children as simply an extension of himself. So she really didn't have her own self-worth, her own self-esteem, but it was an indication, and reflective of the personality of Haman, and how the personality of Haman, the megalomaniac, is incapable of really creating true relationships with individuals. So that's the key. Charvona is the key idea to that, because Charvona, he didn't just tell Haman the facts, but he turned completely on Haman. He went the opposite way. So he himself, according to this Gemara, he himself wasn't necessarily a good person, but he was a yes man. But on the other hand, the idea of Charvona is the idea of this concept, that the Rasha fails in creating any meaningful connections with his supporters, with those who surround him, because his personality doesn't lend itself to that. And ultimately, it lends itself to his own destruction. Nobody stood by him, and in fact, the opposite. You know, people are willing to turn on him, on the Rasha. So that's the first idea. The first concept of the role of Charvona is to teach us this idea about the personality of the Rasha, the personality of Haman. Okay? Now the second point, a little bit more positive for Charvona. So if we look in Rashi and the Malbim similar, look in source number 10. Rashi on the Megillah says, Asher achilosa limpol, next one, source number 11. Rashi Esther Perek Zayin Pasuk Tes, Gam inia eitz, Gam ra acheres asa, So Charvona points out to Achashverosh, by the way, not only was Haman evil in terms of trying to destroy the Jewish people, but also he built this tree in order to kill one of the people who loves you, one of the people who supports you, a real supporter in Mordechai. And Mordechai saved the king from being poisoned by Bixan Viseresh. And now Haman is trying to kill him. So he's pointing out the true rishus of Haman to Achashverosh. So what's the value of that? Why is it so important that he points this out to Achashverosh, to the point where we praise him? We say Zachor Latov. So this is more of a positive idea. So let's look at the Malbim. If anybody has any possibilities, just stop me in the middle. But we'll look at the Malbim. The Malbim says similar. Echad min asarisim. Shahalchu likros Haman el amishta vayidei kein yadu min ha'etz kein yirali. So he says that that he was really just picking up Haman, and he realized that he saw the eights. So he's not saying like the Gemara. Gamine eights wrote to Lomar, Hine yesh od rayos berurosh, shezeh ha'ish Haman ach ra'as ha-melech u'mevakesh. He's saying to Achashverosh, here are some proofs that Haman is really an enemy of yours. He wants you to be harmed. Ki halo asa eitz litlosis Mordechai. He built a tree to kill Mordechai. V'lo matzo bo shum avon rakasher diber tov al ha-melech. Shebaavur shem Mordechai hitzil nefesh ha-melech mimaves. Zos chara l'haman v'ratza litloso. that Mordechai never did anything wrong. In fact, he just wanted to save the king. And nevertheless, Haman was so angry that he wants to kill him. Ki gam Haman hayu bekoshim al melech, zos shenis omeid beves Haman gavoa. So, sorry, that's the first thing. So the first idea is that he's pointing out that really Mordechai wasn't really an enemy of the king, he was a supporter. And Harvona is pointing out that Haman is really an enemy of the king, to Ahasuerus, because you see that he's trying to destroy Mordechai. Zos shenis omeid beves Haman gavoa, halo eitz omeid adayin begavoa chamishim amal, leman yisrael le'ini akol. And also, furthermore, the eitz was meant to show everybody, to make a public demonstration. V'zeh cherpa gedol la'melech. This is also embarrassing for the king. At the very time where Mordechai is being praised in the streets, the very tree is open to everybody. It looks like the person who the king wants to show honor to is really going to be hung. And this is despicable. It's the most. It's the worst rebellion possible. And that's why he ends up killing Haman. So the second, the Malbim, I think he's similar to Rashi, but he elaborates. And he says that really Harvona had two approaches. One is that he wanted to say that Mordechai was really a good guy. And the fact that Haman wanted to kill him shows that Haman's an enemy of the king, because Mordechai is a real supporter of the king. And second of all, the very tree that he built to kill Mordechai was open to everybody at the very time that Haman's going through the streets and yelling, it's a contradiction. It's embarrassing for the king. So he points that out to Ahasuerus, and Ahasuerus kills Haman. So what exactly is the benefit of this? What was the greatness of Harvona in this situation? What was he mentioning to the king, and what was the value of it? Okay, so let's, in order to get to the answer and give a svara and a possibility, I think we have to just do a little bit more in Esther, just one more point, and then we'll get to an idea. So we see from Rashi, just before we move on, just want to summarize, make sure it's clear. So we saw from the Gemara before that the Gemara says that Harvona was a bad guy. And it's really to show you the personality of the Rasha. It doesn't engender any loyalty. But now we see from Rashi and the Malbim that no, Harvona really was stating a positive here, and he was trying to show or convince Ahasuerus of the evil nature of Haman in a complete fashion. So what's the value? What can we really pinpoint exactly what the purpose and the goal and the value of this rule of Harvona is? So we look in let's look in Esther right before this story, right before the Harvona event. It says Vamelch kam b'chamoso m'meshtei ayin el ginas habison v'Haman amad. So what happens is that Ahasuerus gets angry and he leaves. He walks outside. He needs some fresh air. And Haman ends up begging for his forgiveness from Esther because he knows that Ahasuerus was angry. So we know what happens, that Ahasuerus comes back, and then the Gemara says the Malach pushed Haman onto Esther, and Ahasuerus gets very angry, and he says that, are you going to conquer the queen with me in the house? And Haman gets very ashamed, embarrassed. So this is the impetus for his destruction, for Ahasuerus knowing that he has to kill Haman. But what do we see from this event? We see that it wasn't so clear-cut. Because you see that it says Hamelch kam b'chamaso in Zion. It says that Ahasuerus got up. He wasn't clearly going to kill Haman until he comes back. He comes back, and when he sees that Haman is on Esther, he makes up his mind. And once it comes out of his mouth, he needs to kill Haman, because it would be a complete embarrassment for him to not go forward after this happened. But you see that before this, prior to this, there was some doubt. There was some suffix. There was some. It wasn't clear cut whether Ahasuerus should kill Haman. In fact, that's why he walks out, in order to contemplate whether what he should do in this situation, because Esther, on the one hand, was claiming that Haman wanted to destroy her and her people, and Haman was his fellow advisor. He was one of his closest advisors. So he goes outside to think, and he comes back, and this happens. So we see that Ahasuerus' approach to killing Haman wasn't absolute. There was doubt there. And we saw before by Vashti, look in source number 14. It says, Achar dvarim ha'ele kishoch chamas ha'melech chashverosh zacharis Vashti ve'es asher asoso ve'es asher nigzar leah. So after Achashverosh kills Vashti, he wakes up and he realizes that he remembers her. It says that he remembers her and he remembers what he had done because he was all drunk and everything. And it says in source number 15, Zachar's Vashti es yoftio v'netzo. He remembered how beautiful she was, and he got angry. He got sad, not angry. He was depressed. So we see that Achashverosh was kind of he wasn't exactly a well thought out individual, and sometimes you can make rash decisions. And we see from Vashti that after he killed her, he was upset, and you see that he was depressed, and that it affected him. He wasn't just sure that the decision he made was a good decision. So what's the role of Charvona? The role of Charvona was in order to make sure, ensure that Achashverosh's final decision to destroy Haman didn't have any conflict, was conflict-free. Because if it did have conflict, if there was conflict there, then it could lead to a mistrust of Mordechai ultimately in Esther. And that would undermine the whole purpose of the Megillah, the whole purpose of the Hashgacha here to help the Jewish people and save them, could be undermined if Achashverosh killed Haman with this conflict. So the greatness of Charvona was that even if whether he intended or not, the greatness of Charvona is that he ensured that Achashverosh would harbor no ill will, no feelings of negative feelings towards Mordechai and Esther after having killed Haman. So before Haman's death, he shows Achashverosh, by the way, know that Haman is really an enemy of yours, and Mordechai is your real supporter. And don't think that Haman is really your friend. Because if you think that, and if he did think that, then he would be conflicted. And it would ultimately affect his relationship with the Jews and with Mordechai and Esther. So instead, Charvona is the one who ensures, who makes sure that Achashverosh is conflict-free, doesn't have this tremendous conflict in killing Haman, and also helps make sure, helps ensure that the Jewish people are safe and that the relationship with Achashverosh is strong after the death of Haman. So I think, and you see that that's the case because Achashverosh ends up giving Mordechai Haman's house, I think, and he ends up agreeing to a lot of what Mordechai and Esther asked from him after the fact. So you see that it was really important, it was vital that Charvona give this advice to Achashverosh before Haman's death in order to ensure that all this stuff happened after the fact. Okay, so that's the second idea. So the first idea is the Rasha idea, that a Rasha, there's no loyalty by a megalomaniac. He can't really create any true bond or relationship, and that was what Charvona is trying to teach us. But the second idea is more positive, that Charvona made it that Achashverosh would have be conflict-free in the destruction of Haman, in the killing of Haman. And finally, there's one last point, one last idea. And the last idea is the Ibn Ezra. Look in source number 16. So it says, Charvona, Yesh Omrim ki Eliyahu zal nidme lemelech kidmus sris. So some say that Charvona here was really Eliyahu, and he was disguised, and he looked like an officer. He looked like Charvona, but it was really Eliyahu underneath. Okay, and by the way, so one of the questions we asked before was the Aleph versus the Hey. I couldn't find this on my Bar Ilan CD, so I didn't put it in the source sheets, but the Ma'aril brings down that the difference is that the Hey is as a remez to the idea that Hashem was, that there was Hashgacha. It was Hashem, the Hey from Hashem. Whereas by the Aleph in the beginning, there was no Hashgacha, it was just Charvona, but at the end, there was Hashgacha. And he wants to say, I think the Ma'aril says, like the Ibn Ezra, that it was really Eliyahu, that there was some type of Hashgach here. So why was there, this is the last point, why was there a need for Hashgacha in this situation? So the last possibility is that Charvona the advice of Charvona was in line with the idea of Mida Keneged Mida. This is the last idea. It's really the idea that Hashem's justice be complete, be perfect. And the perfect justice in this situation was that Haman received the very evil that he intended for Mordechai. So the need for Hashgacha in this situation was in order that the Midah Keneged Midah of Hashem, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be reflected in this story, in the Megillah, that Mordechai, that Haman get the very punishment that he intended for Mordechai. So the concept is that the Ibn Ezra and the Ma'aril are saying is that Charvona was really hashgacha. It was really the presence of hashgacha in making sure in enacting the mida k'neged mida, the justice of the punishment to Haman in the most perfect sense. And without you, I guess it's saying that without Hashem's assistance in this situation, it might not have occurred that this justice would be reflected, that this mida k'neged mida would occur. But there was a need for hashgacha in this situation in order that the punishment to Haman reflect mida k'neged mida and that idea, that perfect justice. Okay, so the three ideas of the shir tonight, we're not finished, but one last point. But the three ideas in the shir tonight are the nature of the rasha and his relationships. And the second idea is really the concept that Charvona made Achashverosh, helped Achashverosh be conflict-free in order to help the Jews after the fact, after Haman's death. And the last is the idea of the Ibn Ezra, which is that Charvona represents or reflects Hashgacha and the idea that Mida k'neged Mida was an important point in the story. And you need Hashgacha in this situation, Hashgacha was necessary in order to create that effect. So finally, let's look in source number 17. So this is a tough one. So the question is, why do we say all these things, Zachar L'Tov, at the very end, that Charvona Zachar L'Tov? So look in the Aruch HaShulchan. He says, Kevan, Simon Tuf Resh Tzadi Seif Chaf Beis. Kevan Shi Nikres Igeres Lachin Minna Kol Yisrael Shakori Poshta Kodem Kriyasa Ki Igeres Laharos Anis. So we're all familiar. It's a good background on the Halacha also, that we end up... spreading out the Megillah before you read it in public with a tibor. You spread it out like an igeres, not like a normal Sefer Torah. Aval shomea filu tofias la'atzma Megillah k'shera in tzarech l'poshta ki igeres. So the person who's listening doesn't have to do the whole spreading it out like a letter. V'tofsa mekoreches. So you can hold it by and roll it like a normal Sefer. V'chein asa ma'aril v'akori la'achar shagamar kriya chozer v'korcha kula mevarech haravis rivenu. So afterwards, you have to roll everything up, and then you make that bracha, Ravis Rivenu, ve'inza hefsek. It's not a hefsek. Ve'od debirchas haravis Rivenu, lo shaych le'megillah, elehi birchas hodayel ha'kadosh baruch hu. So you roll it, and then you say the bracha, and it's a different bracha. It's a bracha, birchas hodah. Ve'achar kach omrim shoshanas Yaakov, ve'al pia Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi brings down, tzarech lomar sham arur haman baruch Mordechai, arura zeresh brucha Esther, arurim kol harishayim bruchim kol hatzadikim, v'tzarech lomar, v'gam charvona zachur l'tov. So the Aruch HaShulchan brings down the Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi says that at the end of Shoshanas Yaakov, you have to say, after the Megillah, Arur Haman Baruch Mordechai, Arura Zeresh Brucha Esther, Arurim Kol Rishan, Bruchim Kol Tzadikim, and you also have to say, Gam Charvona Zachur l'tov. And the Aruch HaShulchan goes on, V'afal Gav Delfiya Medrash, Eliyahu ninme bidmuso, even though the Medrash says it was Eliyahu, mikomakum kevin de ninme bidmus charvona naskiver l'tov. Since it was the appearance of charvona, we mention and we remember him for the good. So what is this idea? The Yerushalmi just brings it down in 18 and 19. I don't have to read it. It just says the same thing, that after the Megillah, there's some idea of mentioning Arur Haman, Baruch Mordechai. So why do we do that? Why is there a halachic source, or what's the idea of mentioning, other than Shoshanas Yaakov, the beginning, why at the very end of Shoshanas Yaakov do we have to mention all these ideas that Mordechai was blessed, curse Haman, bless Mordechai, curse Zeresh? Why is this important? Why do we mention it? So it was bothering me, this question. So does anybody have any possibilities? Why do we have to mention this at the very end? Why is it brought down? It's brought down the Yerushalmi. I had two possibilities. This was the last end of the shir. The two possibilities. One was more halachic, and the other one was, more philosophical. The halachic idea, I think, which I think fits in, is that after the Megillah is over, so the next event, or it doesn't have to be the next exactly, but one of the mitzvos of the Yom is the Seudah. That's the Iker idea. After Megillah, the Iker mitzvah is going to be Seudah. And one of the mitzvos of Seudah is that you're supposed to drink, the Gemara says, until you know the difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai, until you confuse the two. So that's how far you're supposed to drink, and that's the shear of drinking, so that you don't know the difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. So maybe the idea is that before you get involved in the Seuda, you have to know this fact. You have to know Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. So maybe the end of Shoshanas Yaakov is an introduction to the Seuda. It's like the end of Shoshana, this is a halachic idea. The end of Shoshanas Yaakov is the introduction to the shir, or to the idea of the seuda, that you start the seuda with the knowledge of who the good guys and the bad guys are in the story. And then through the seuda, the drinking and the enjoyment of the seuda is supposed to bring a person to that level of confusion, of shelo yodeh, that you don't know, bein ar haman levarach Mordechai. So the one possibility is that the Yerushalmi is saying that prior to the seuda, at the end of the Megillah, we have to prepare us for the seuda. The way to prepare us is to have in mind, with a clear as possible, who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. So that's more of a halachic idea. But the other possibility is just that the main idea of Megillah is really the hashgacha of the Megillah. And the driving forces of the hashgacha was the rishus of Haman and the greatness of Mordechai. And we saw from all the shitos that, or at least from the Ibn Ezra and the way the Aruch HaShulchan is bringing it down, that Charvonah was a vehicle of the hashgacha. So the idea is that we're supposed to mention the driving force for the hashgacha, which were the individuals in the story, the Chachamim, the Tzadikim, and the Rishayim. And also, even Charvonah gets a mention. Why? Because even Charvonah was a component of the hashgacha. He himself, like the Ibn Ezra says, and even if you learn like Rashi, he was somewhat involved in the destruction of Haman. But the idea is that we're supposed to recognize that the driving forces of the hashgacha in the story were these individuals and their rishus and their tzidkus. And Charvonah himself also is a component of that, because we saw from before that he was Elio, that he was bringing about an idea of Mida Keneged Mida. So even Charvonah is Zachar Letov. Even Charvonah is part of this mentioning of all these individuals, because he played a role, maybe a minor role, but he plays a role in a hashgacha sense in bringing out an idea about the story, about Mida Keneged Mida. All right, so that's the end. So let me just summarize this year. So really, not so complicated, I think, but there's really three main ideas in the shir. The main question is, what is the rule of Charvonah? So either it's trying to teach us an idea about the personality of the Rasha, that he can't create real connections with people, because especially by Haman, he was a megalomaniac and he was incapable of really creating true bonds. And the second point is Rashi, that really Charvonah was instrumental in terms of Ahasuerus' relationship with the Jews after Haman's death, that there was some conflict there in Ahasuerus' mind, and Charvonah helped ease that conflict and make the event of destroying Haman conflict-free. And finally, the last idea is the Ibn Ezra and the Ma'aril, and they want to say that the role of Charvonah isn't to enact the idea of Mida Keneged Mida in the story. And lastly, the last point was that we mentioned Charvonah Zachar L'Tov. So either we mention it, and we mention the whole last element of Shoshana Yaakov to prepare us for the Seuda, or the other possibility is that we have to really take away from the Megillah. The main takeaway is the Hashgacha, and the Hashgacha and the driving force of the Hashgacha in the Megillah were really these personalities. And even Charvonah was an element of the Hashgacha, as mentioned by the Ibn Ezra. So that's the last point. All right? So everybody, thank you. Any questions? Anybody have any questions? All right. Well, everybody, have a good Shabbos. Thank you so much. Have a good Shabbos.